Anyway, I want to get right into our word this morning. And again, normally we'd have the 4th of July, but I thought this would be quite appropriate because we've been talking about, last Sunday I started a series on We Believe, exploring the Apostles' Creed. It's important that we understand that because our freedom comes from proper knowledge. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So if the truth sets me free, then a lie does what? It binds me. It binds me. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So that's what we're talking about today. Today we're going to be talking about God the Creator. God the Creator. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Verse number 11, John the Revelator writes these words, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Notice what he says, "For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Very important. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Now, last Sunday is, again, last week we kicked off this series. It'll be a summer series. I do want to give you a report on camp before it just popped into my head. Our youth came back from camp this week, and just incredible. We're going to have an opportunity here in the next 2 weeks to hear some amazing stories. We had two saved, seven baptized, and six called into ministry. So that's pretty incredible. And to do it proper, we're going to have an opportunity here in a couple weeks for them to be able to share stories and encounters with the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's why they're out there selling fireworks. They're raising money. They're helping, we're just doing everything we can so that other people know. So anyway, we're pretty excited about that. Anyway, as we talked about last week, the Apostles' Creed, we started with the very first phrase, and it simply says, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty." I believe in God, the Father Almighty. And this morning we're going to complete that phrase, Creator of heaven and earth. Now there's a reason why it starts with God. And there's a reason why it goes right from God into creation. Because there's an order there that is very, very important to understanding where we are, what's going on with us. Now the creed, again, begins with the basic belief that God is. God is. And from there, the creed acknowledges that God is before all things and that he is the creator of all things. And again, this is where the rub comes in with intellectual man. Because reality is this, if I acknowledge God, if we acknowledge the existence of God who is outside of creation, if we acknowledge that, then we acknowledge that we are accountable to him. So there are a lot of people today that want to deny God, not from an intellectual standpoint, but more from a philosophical standpoint, because they don't want to acknowledge their accountability to him. If God is the supreme of the universe, and he is, then that means he owns everything. And if he owns everything, then that means that he's in charge and that we will be responsible to him for our lives. Amen? So there's some accountability there. And again, that's why the rub is in our culture today. See, many people today have been taught that the universe came into existence accidentally. It accidentally just happened. I was teaching a youth class here many years ago. We were in class, and I pointed to my watch, and I asked the kids, I said, okay, so let me ask you this question. If I were to take this watch apart and break it down to its individual components, and if I were to put that watch, all those components, into a jar, put a lid on it, and begin to shake it, how long would I need to shake that for that to become a functioning watch? And of course, they're like, well, there's no way it would do that. Well, see, that's what we're being taught today, is that we are here, that the universe, all that we see with all of its complexities, are merely an accident. It just kind of happened. Well, here's the thing. If it just kind of happened, then that means that everything exists without meaning and without purpose. That all of us here are just a massive, just a conglomeration of cells and muscle and sinew and all of that. And we're just here accidentally. We have no rhyme, no reason for our existence, nor no purpose. And that is a direct contradiction to what the Bible says. You see, as a Christian, you and I believe that everything exists because, again, everything that exists, it came about as a sovereign act of God. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't an oops. It wasn't unplanned. It wasn't happenstance. It was a creative act of a sovereign God. The creed begins by declaring that God is the Father Almighty. That's who he is. And then it says what he has done. Okay? Who he is? God, the Father Almighty. What has he done? Maker of heaven and earth. And again, it's very important. You've heard me say this for years, that we are all born on purpose with purpose. Every one of us. And again, that has nothing to do with the circumstances of your birth. I know people that were born and given up for adoption. I've known people that were born and they were told they were an accident or they were unplanned. And it may not have been as harsh as what it sounds, but that's what they were told. I've known kids, youth, that have been told they were an oops. Think about that for a moment. But the Bible says we were born on purpose with purpose. We are not some casual, meaningless product of evolution. We are the result of a creative act of God. And to understand the significance of who we are, we have to begin with understanding that we are intentionally made by God. We have his thumbprint of our Maker on our lives. And again, the creed boldly declares that God is the Father Almighty as well as the Creator of heaven and earth. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand this morning. Because you're a Christian, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that we check our brains in at the door. You know, we don't have anybody that stands out there with a bucket saying, deposit your brain when you walk in the door. Christianity is not anti-intellectual, as some people would like it to believe. See, we don't check our brains in at the door and subscribe to some outlandish and nonsensical ideas. Christianity, again, is not anti-intellectual. Believing in creation does not mean that we are ignorant people and refuse to believe science. We got to hear that truth and understand that. Speaking of science, you do know there is no science to prove evolution. You do know that. So just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I check my brain at the door, and it doesn't mean that I deny or refuse to accept science. So the question is, why does the creed declare God as the creator? Well, a couple things. Number one, it declares God the creator, number one, because there are competing worldviews. There are competing worldviews. Now, you understand your viewpoint is the lens by which you filter everything that happens in life. I preached a series earlier this year about developing a biblical worldview. Listen, we have a choice. I can either filter life through a humanistic lens. Again, I experience life through my rhyming and reasoning. Or I can filter it through the Bible or what Scripture teaches, and that is a biblical worldview. Everything has its proper understanding through the lens of Scripture. Well, see, that's really what's going on with the evolution versus creation debate. It is a competing worldview. See, the debate is not about dinosaurs and DNA. It really is a debate between competing worldviews. Evolution, at its heart, listen to this, views the world through a naturalistic lens that has removed God from their equation. In other words, the naturalists look at the world and they find a reason for its existence apart from God. And so they either believe that God does not exist, or secondly, that God does not matter. But a biblical worldview is quite different. A biblical worldview begins or is rooted in creation itself. If we don't understand creation and what ensued from creation, we can't understand the rest of the gospel story, because it started there. So the biblical worldview, again, is rooted in the doctrine of creation, that everything that we see is an intentional, creative act of a sovereign God. And the reason that's important is because how we view our origin influences, think about it, the way we think about our value and our purpose. So you find somebody that's heavy, that's down on themselves, they don't have a proper understanding of who they are, why they're here, and what they're doing here. They don't know where they came from, what they're doing here, and where they're going. They're just kind of meandering through life because they do not understand their significant value. Listen, you are of immense value this morning. If you don't get anything else I say, and if you're online this morning, I'm telling you, you are of immense value, more than you can even comprehend. I've heard all of my life that if I had been the only one here on this earth, that Jesus still would have come to do on Calvary what he did for all of us. Why? Because I'm valuable. Maybe not to everybody here, but to him, I'm priceless. And every one of us here are priceless. Listen, again, if I'm an accident, think about this. If I'm an accident, if I'm unplanned and unintentional, then my worth or my value is no more than that of an insect or a lower species of animal. See, evolution as a worldview leaves God out of the equation, and it's a very meaningless existence. I love what Albert Mohler says. He said that the biblical storyline, and I love that, the storyline of the Bible from beginning to end. He said the biblical storyline gives each human life meaning and relevance by rooting us in God's purposes in creation. He goes on, creation is part of a large story, okay? Creation is part of the story that moves to the culmination of God's purposes and a complete revelation of His character. That's why the psalmist was able to say, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Why? Because all of creation tells the story of God. Again, this Bible is not an exhaustive concordance. And this is where a lot of people get mixed up. They want to look at the Bible. The Bible is not an exhaustive concordance that gives us all the tidbits about God. It gives us a revelation of God, but it doesn't give us the totality of God because we can't understand it all. The Bible is not a concordance an exhaustive concordance of what I can and cannot do. That's not what the Bible is designed for. The Bible doesn't give me that list. What the Bible does is teaches me the character of God, so that when I find myself in those gray areas of life, I know the character of God, so I already know what I need to do. That's what the Bible's purpose is. It tells the story of God. It tells the story of the beginning, it tells the fall, and it tells God's restoration of His creation. That's the Bible right there in a nutshell. Again, we live in a time when liberal theologians have invading many of our institutes of higher learning. And many of these liberal theologians today, they want to compromise with this thing called theistic evolution, which simply is an attempt to join these two competing worldviews. Join these views. Again, at best, they're inconsistent in their faith, and at worst, they have undermined the authority of the Bible because they're trying to join two contrary worldviews. See, that's why the creed steps up and says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. It starts right there. All of my understanding and all of my existence from there begins right there. And if not, then I'm hopelessly confused. See, everything starts with God, the God who created us. And if you start anywhere else, you're going to wander or meander through life confused. And number two, another reason the creed starts out with the existence of God or tells us that God is and then goes right into the fact that He's the maker of everything is that that's exactly right. God created everything. Just declaring a bold truth in a world that's kind of lost its way. George Garland, the comedian, one time said, we created God in our own image and in our own likeness. Well, he was partially correct. We didn't create God, but we did create a God in our likeness. And see, that's the basic problem of humanity. And it's also why the creed put this doctrine of creation right up front. See, the Christian worldview, what you and I believe, stands 180 degrees opposite of the evolutionary worldview. Evolutionary worldview says all of us are nothing more than an accident of nature. And if that's true, then none of us here have meaning, none of us have purpose, none of what we do really matters in the grand scheme of things. But 180 from that is the doctrine of Scripture, the creative doctrine of Scripture that says you were born with purpose, that He knit you in your mother's womb while you were yet there, that before you were born, He knew you. See, again, stands in total opposite directions. And again, the biblical writers, if you read through the Scriptures, they ascribe creation to God all through Scripture. Genesis, again, 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, by faith we understand. Think about it. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's, what? Command. By faith we understand that. So that what is seen is not made out of what was visible. Again, by faith we understand that God created all that you and I get to see. And again, reading Genesis 1, it tells us something very important about God. It tells us how God created everything. See, throughout the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, the text says a phrase, and God said. And God said. Eight times in the phrase is used. I mean, think about it. He spoke and light broke through the darkness. He spoke and the waters receded from the earth. He spoke and dry land and vegetation appeared. He spoke and the sun filled the sky and the stars twinkled by the millions and billions at night. He spoke and the sea filled with fish and birds began to fly in the air. He spoke and the cattle grazed, the squirrels gathered the nuts, and the horses galloped across the plains. Finally, he spoke and created Adam, the first man, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And when Adam got lonely, what did God do? God took a rib from his side and he created and fashioned woman, Eve. That's the creative story. See, the Bible tells us that plainly, that the universe exists because of God's command. Again, if you want to know how everything started and where it all started, it started right there. Because the Bible boldly declares without an apology that God created everything. In fact, this is the message of Scripture. Think about Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33:9 says, for he spoke and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. Psalm 148:5 says, for he commanded and they were created. Peter, writing in his epistle chapter, in 2 Peter 3, says, for by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water. And in our text this morning, I love this text because John is writing and he gets this picture. So John, if you read chapter 1 and you get in 2 and 3 where he writes the letters, the seven letters to the seven churches, and then he's called up to the third heaven, and he's there, and he sees this incredible sight. One of the things he sees there is 24 elders. These elders represent the redeemed of all ages, and they cast their crowns before God, and they worship him. And here's what they say. You are worthy, our text, you are worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will, and by your will, they were created and have their being. Did you get that? By his will. If you read, continue reading in Revelation in chapter 5, these same 24 elders, John sees them falling down and worshiping the Lamb that was slain. They're worshiping this Lamb for the purchase, the redemption he purchased with his own blood. And verse 9 says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchase men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Now, I want you to think about this. There's an order to what's going on here. See, we have how many understand God's a God of order, decency and an order? There is a flow. God has an order to everything he does. There's always a reason for things to happen the way they happen. In Revelation, it's no different. The 24 elders that we see in chapter 4, first of all, they worship God. Why? Because he's the creator. That's what they're doing in chapter 4. They're worshiping him. You created all things, and all things exist because of you. So they're worshiping him because he's a creator. And then in chapter 5, they worship him because he is the redeemer. Think about that. If we lose the doctrine of creation, then eventually we lose the doctrine of redemption. If we lose the doctrine of creation, then eventually we lose the doctrine of redemption. See, the story of creation leads to the reality of chapter 3 of Genesis. You know what happened in chapter 3? The fall. The fall. Genesis 1 and 2 describes the creative order of God. It tells us where we came from. Genesis chapter 3 explains how sin entered into the human race and why we need a Savior. Again, that's what I'm saying. We've got to start right there. That's why the creed boldly declares that they believe in God. God is. And that he is the maker of heaven and earth. Again, if we remove the first three chapters of the Bible, the rest of the Bible cannot be trusted. You can't get there without those three chapters. Again, I want you to notice also in that verse it says that God created all things by his own will. That's very, very important because I've heard people say some really interesting things about why God created the universe. Think about it. The King James Version says he created all of this for his own pleasure. His own pleasure. So you know why he created? If anybody ever asks you, why did God create the universe? Here's your answer. Because he wanted to. That's it. Because he wanted to. He created the universe because he wanted to. Listen, not because he needed to. There's a huge difference there. I mean, how many of you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, God got lonely and he needed some companions, and so God created mankind, and you know, and he created everything and put mankind in there so he'd have somebody to talk to. Listen, that sentimental notion has no basis in Scripture. None whatsoever. God did not create us because he was lonely. If we believe that, then we misunderstand who God is. God is sovereign. He's eternal, self-existing. That means I can't add anything to him, nor can I take anything away. He is self, complete, total. So he didn't create us because he was lonely and needed me to talk Alabama football to his ear. He didn't. I mean, think about it. We worship a God who exists eternally. One God, three persons, the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. The Father loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Father. See, God did not create the world because of some lack in himself. He created this world because he willed to, for his own pleasure. Now, think about the implication of that. You're here not because you're an accident. You're here not because you're an oops or an unplanned or a mistake. You're here because God willed you to be here. You are valuable enough that God wanted you in his creation, so he created you when you were born. Think about that. I think a third thing, the reason that the creed begins there with God is and then the creation of God, is because we can't understand the universe until we know the God who created it. We can't understand anything until we begin right there of knowing who God is and what. Listen, if we leave God out, we miss the fundamental truth about the universe. That's why the Apostles' Creed begins with this phrase, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We put God at the center of all things. And if you do that, everything else makes sense. When Sheila and I lived in Europe, we loved to travel and drive all over the countryside there in Germany in particular, and there are places like in Belgium and Luxembourg, and you get on down into Switzerland and Austria and the Netherlands up north. It's interesting because as you're driving, when you crest a hill, you can see villages. Sometimes you can see them for a few miles off out in the distance. And there's one prominent feature that you see in almost every town. Now there's some major cities now that are building large skyscrapers and stuff, and they're kind of dwarfing it out. But you know what it is? You can see the spire of a church. And that church is usually located in the center of the city. And then they build out from there. And it's kind of like reminiscent of the Old Testament when the Israelites were marching through the wilderness and they would take the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. And every time they stopped, they would pitch that tabernacle. They would build that tabernacle or tent of meeting, and they would get it erected and set up. And then from there, they would build their tribes. They would camp around that thing. Why? Because God has to be the center. He's the hub. He's the hub. He's the center of it all. And if God's not the hub, then there's no strength. There's no strength. There's no energy. He has to be. And so again, understanding where we came from, understanding that we are a creative act of God, is the hub. It's the center. God is the center. That's why we always say God has to be first. He cannot be secondary or tertiary in our lives. If God is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. He has to be the middle. See, again, I love what the psalmist said, Proverbs 9 says, the fear of the Lord is what? Is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to gain wisdom, begin to fear the Lord. Reverence, respect, understand, learn of him. Learn of him. I quoted it last Sunday. The psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste for yourself and see that the Lord is good. Find out for yourself. See, listen, no one can know the universe and answer the great questions of life without knowing God. You do know there are three basic questions of life that everybody asks at some point. The questions are this: where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? That is the three basic questions that all humanity we ask. We want to know, where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And you see, until we answer that first question correctly, we cannot answer the rest of them. That's why evolution is such a dangerous, dangerous thing. Because if it tells me that I'm an accident, if it tells me that I have no value, then I live my life without meaning and without purpose. I'm just a ship sailing through with no aim. It's kind of like the pinball of life. Everybody know pinball? Life shoots you out into that pinball of life, and you bounce from pillar to post without any aim or direction. You're just all over the place. You see, we have to start there. Until we answer that question, the first question, we can't answer the rest properly. If you think you evolved from the slime, if you believe that you arrived on Earth by accident or as a result of blind evolution over millions and billions of years, if you believe that you're a product of this evolutionary stream that started with a bolt of lightning, hit this primordial soup in the dim recesses of the past, if you believe that, then you don't know where you came from, nor do you know why you're here, nor do you understand where you're going. If you believe that you just slid it out of that primordial soup, grew legs, stood up and walked with nothing beyond that, no wonder your life is miserable. No wonder there's no joy and peace and comfort. The Bible teaches, the biblical teaching regarding where we come from is simply this: created, not evolved. Created, not evolved. Our children need to hear that. Our children need to hear that. They are being bombarded today with ideologies and philosophies that run counter to what the Bible teaches. Listen, I don't have to try to figure out why the universe exists. The Bible says it does so because He willed it. And as a man of faith, that's good enough for me. That doesn't answer all of my questions, I promise you. Because, listen, one of those questions, when I get to heaven, I want to know, why do mosquitoes exist? I'm just being honest. What's their purpose? You know? It doesn't answer all my questions. But by faith, I understand that the universe was formed at His command. By faith, I believe that He exists. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, we start right there. Our children need to hear and know that they are created, not evolved. They need to understand they are a deliberative act of God, born on purpose with purpose. And again, nothing is more fundamental than the biblical truth that we're created by God and not the product of some blind evolution. I read this quote and I thought it was very interesting. Pope Benedict the 16th said this. I quote, he said, "We are not some casual and meaningless product of evolution. Each of us," listen to what he said, this is powerful. "Each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary." Wow. Wow. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're necessary." I mean, think about that. When God put this world together, the one who knows the beginning from the end thought you were so important that He willed you here. That's incredible to think about. Before you were ever born, at the beginning of time, God thought about you, and He put you here. I've often said there's a reason that you were born, where you were born, to whom you were born, in the circumstance of your birth. Again, I don't have all the answers, and I don't understand all. I have questions, and I don't understand. But you know what? I trust God. There was a reason. When God put this world together, there was a reason He wanted me here. There was a reason I was born to Edward Leslie Mizell Sr. and to Barbara Jean Miller Mizell on November the 29th, 1965. There was a reason for that. Every year I'm having to scroll a little farther down on the drop-down menu. But there was a reason for that. There was a reason I was born in Mobile, Alabama, Roll Tide. There was a reason for that. See, He knew I was going to do that all the time. I mean, think about it. In your situation, whatever your date of birth, there was a reason that God thought about you to assign you that day. And you were born on that day. Not as an accident, not as an oops, but because you were loved and thought of and willed by God. That's amazing. I mean, when God created me, man, think about it. He made me as I am, just who I am. He fashioned my arms. He molded my bones. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He made me. He put passion in my heart to serve others and to love people. He did all of that. He did that. I can't jump. I don't dance very well. I certainly can't sing, but you know what? I'm a designer original. I am. I'm a designer original. I'm one of a kind. I'm a limited edition. When my wife was in the hospital just recently, I had some downtime, and so I went into a high-end store up in Fort Worth, and I always like to do, you know, I mean, I love spoiling my wife, and so I was looking for handbags. So I walk into this high-end store, and I happen to walk by the handbags, and I'll be honest with you, I almost hyperventilated. I'm like, now, some of them were large enough. I guess you could probably hide a body in there if you wanted to, but, I mean, $1,500 for a purse? I mean, if it was a boat, I mean, a down payment on a boat, we might be talking something, but but a purse. After I recovered, I mean, they came over, sir, you okay? I mean, they brought the smelling salt. I mean, I was just out cold. I was like, what? And I'm like, what in the world? I mean, is this gold? You know? I mean, where is it hiding? Lady said, sir, that is an original. I said, oh, okay. I said, what does that mean? She said, this is my Alabama colloquialism. She said, there ain't no one like it. Not another one. It's a unique one. And I thought, that's me. I'm a designer original. I'm priceless. See, when God made me, he put his thumbprint, his signature is on my life. I'm priceless. I have value. It doesn't matter what somebody else said. See, this is where we get in the rub today, because we don't understand the creative order of God. We let everybody else define who we are. Right? The world says we're smart, we're dumb, we're overweight, or we're underweight, we're this, we're that. The world defines us. He made me an original. Think about it. Of all the snowflakes that have ever, I don't mean that in a political sense. of all the snowflakes that have fallen since creation, I'm different than any of them. That's who God made me to be. And that's who he made you to be too. Because listen, there's always going to be somebody who's going to take issue with who you are. And they're going to try. I mean, you don't believe me? Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What's the first thing they do when they take them out of the land and take them to Babylon? They change their name. They're trying to redefine who they are. I didn't want to chase that rabbit, but I'm just telling you. The world will try to assign to you who they think you are. I'm here to tell you this morning, God made you a designer original, one of a kind, a limited edition, as unique as any snowflake that's ever fallen. See, God made me just like I am, with all of my quirks, and there are many, but he made me. And you see, for a long time, I'll be honest with you, when I was in high school, I was a very cocky individual. And then God brought me down a lot. How many know that if you get on your high horse, he knows how to take you off? He brought me down, and I went totally opposite. For a long time, I struggled with an inferiority complex. And I would look around, even here, for years, back early on, I would look around. There were certain people that I looked to, I wanted to see approval on their face. And if I didn't get that approval, it would affect me emotionally. And I had to spend time praying through and thinking and saying, God, you know, either kill them, move them, save them, do something with them. I need something. I'm kidding. But the Lord had to convince me that I'm here for the audience of one. My sole purpose in life. And listen, I love you with every fiber of my being. I would fight to the death for this body of believers. I would, because I love you that much. But here's the thing. I cannot take my value from what anybody assigns to me. Because when I stand before God, I will stand as an individual. Every decision I've ever made, I will be given account to him for it. I will have to say, you know what, God? This is what was going on in my brain. You know? Again, and here's the thing. God made you the same way. He made you just like you are. Don't let the world try to. Isn't that what Paul said to the Romans? Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. Why? Because you're a designer original. You're a designer. Listen, if we wanted cookie cutter, we could get cookie cutter. But God thought enough of this world and thought that you're enough of you that he put you in his world. And if he put you in his world, there's a reason for that. And you see, that all stems from our understanding that God, that we're an act of God. We're a creative act of God. If I don't understand that, then again, I have no rhyme or reason for being here. Amen? Listen, he made you with all of your quirks and idiosyncrasies. You are here because God wanted you to be here. And it doesn't matter if you were a surprise to your parents, okay? You weren't a surprise to God because we belong to him. He made us the way we are, and you know what? We couldn't escape it if we tried. Couldn't. The story of man, guys, if you'll come on back, we're going to wrap this up. You see, the story of man does not start in Genesis chapter 3. The story of man begins in Genesis 1, the creative order of God, and in chapter 2. The entrance of sin into God's creation is not the end of the story, however, as well. Did you get that? See, man's story didn't start in chapter 3. It started in chapter 1 with the creative order, and man's story did not end with the fall. Because from that point on, God begins to share the story of redemption. Yeah, the fall marred the creative order of God. Sin entered into the world. All of us would have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but guess what? God's story is a story of redemption. See, God shows his power over sin by using the effects of sin to display his glory and his grace. And I really believe it's important we hear this sermon this morning, because there are people, even online this morning, as I wrap this up, there are people online this morning, you're struggling because somebody else has tried to identify who you are. They tried to define you. There are people in this building this morning that are allowing the other people to define who you are. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God thought enough of you to put you in his world. Let him define you. You're not a failure. You're not a, baby, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good. Don't take that from the world. Don't put the keys to your happiness in somebody else's pocket. Because God made you on purpose. See, the Bible is the story of God's plan to rescue all of creation. I love, again, what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, according to his promise. Are you holding on to a promise this morning? According to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. See, that's what I'm waiting for. That's his according to his promise. I told the early service back in the day, youth ministry in the Assemblies of God back years ago used to be called CAs. Now, CAs means Christ Ambassadors. And they had a song, a little ditty, "We are Christ Ambassadors." And that's as far as I know. but do you know what an ambassador is? It is someone who represents another entity, country, if we will. Do you know that we are, again, think about, again, the creative order of God. Where did I come from? I'm a creation of God. Why am I here? I'm here as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Didn't Paul say our citizenship is in heaven? So I'm here as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Where am I going? Jesus stood up to his disciples one time and said, "Hey, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place." So therein lies all the answers. Where did I come from? I'm a creative act of God. Why am I here? I'm an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. Where am I going? I'm going to that place he's gone to prepare for me. That answers all those questions. And you know what? That's good enough for me. Peter said, according to his promise, we're waiting. See, right now, we're in that waiting phase. And listen, how many of you are impatient like me? I usually do pretty good unless I'm in a fast food line. By the way, that's an oxymoron. Not fast food. Anyway, in food, it might even be an oxymoron. I'm just kidding. And behind the wheel, I'm learning. You know, I wouldn't be so impatient behind the wheel if everybody learned to drive. But there was a point to that. I was going somewhere. We're in that waiting phase. That's what it is. We're in that waiting phase. Okay. And again, in the world, we're going to have tribulation. In the world, there's a lot of things going on. But it doesn't change that he's defined me. Because I came from him, I was willed by him, placed where I was placed on purpose, on reason, and I'm going somewhere. And if you grab hold of that, No matter what comes your way, listen, there, you may be in something right now. There may be people that have told you that you'll never amount to anything, and particularly with our students, there might be people that say, you know what, you can't do that ministry, you can't do that ministry. You know what, listen to the preacher this morning. I'm just telling, if you never listened to me before and never listen again, listen to me today. You are willed by God. You are willed by God. You were created by Him on purpose, with purpose. Don't let anybody else try to define you or redefine you, because He thought you were valuable enough to put you in His world. Won't you stand with me this morning? See, everything starts with God who created us. And if you start anywhere else, if you start anywhere else, you're going to be perpetually confused. See, you'll never know who you are until you know who He is. That's why it starts. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. It starts there. Because when I know Him, and I know that He's the maker of heaven and earth, then I can start seeing myself in the proper light. You remember Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And he described this incredible scene in this heaven. What was the first thing he did after he described that scene? He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And from there, the seraphim came with the tongs and took the coal off the altar and touched his lips. Purifying is what it symbolizes. Isaiah was a prophet of God, a man of God, and yet when he saw God in his splendor, he saw himself in proper understanding. You see, that's why it's so important we understand the creative act of God, that we're not some random happenstance, that we're a deliberative act of a sovereign God who willed us to be here. You were born when you were born on purpose, and you're here today on purpose. And if you'll grab hold of that, your life can change. Your life can change. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team if you'll join me down front. So, little ladies, guys, if you'll come down this morning, we just want to pray for a moment. Listen, I know we have things going on. It's 4th of July and probably a lot of stuff happening. But I always want to take time because maybe there's somebody here that needs somebody to stand in agreement with them. The Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And I really believe there's some, and maybe online this morning, I'm talking to you as well. You know, there's some folks that the devil's been whispering in your ear telling you that you're not anything. You're not significant. You're not important. And sometimes when he tells us that over and over and over again, what we do is we become hypened. We become hypersensitive. And so we start reading into situations that there's nothing really there. We start reinterpreting things happening as though it were directed towards us. Does that make sense? Somebody walks past us, for instance, somebody walks past us and they don't say hi. And we automatically take offense at that and say, well, they didn't even speak to me. But you may not realize they just got a text that, hey, your kid's sick in the nursery, would you come? But because we've been heightened by the whispers of the enemy, we reinterpret something to mean something it does not mean. Just what I'm saying, he's a liar and he's the father of all lies. And some are being, he's trying to define us from a worldly perspective when God's saying, look, I've stamped you with my signature as a designer original, limited edition. There is none other. Now go live as that. You know, a designer original, they're expensive. They're priceless. He's saying, every one of us here, priceless. Live like that. I want you to bow with me this morning. As we sing this morning, I'm going to ask the question. If you're struggling this morning with identity, maybe the world's been whispering in your ear, telling you that you're not anybody, you're never going to amount to anything. Listen, you came this morning to hear this message on purpose. We could have done a 4th of July celebration. I could have preached a patriotic message, but God wanted me to preach this on purpose. Because somebody needs to know that you're a deliberative act of God. You're not an accident. You're not inferior. You're not substandard. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are a designer original, limited edition of one. As we sing this morning, if you need prayer this morning, maybe you're struggling. Maybe the wounds have been slow to heal because somebody hurt you. Let us pray for you today. Online, if you'll comment, we'll pray with you this morning. Let us pray with you this morning. Maybe the enemy's been whispering in your ear, not sweet nothings, but lies, trying to get you to see things that do not exist, to focus on things that are not there. You know what? It's time to resist him and enjoy the freedom that Christ came to give. As they sing, would you come? Would you let us pray with you this morning? If you'll comment, we'll pray with you online as well.
The all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
Amen. You need prayer on anything, come on, anything, we'll pray with you this morning.
I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Judge and our defender, suffered and crucified, forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever
this morning. I believe. I want to read this to you before we close this morning. Lord, just laid on my heart, Isaiah 43. It has an application to us today. It says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. And he says this, you are mine. You are mine. I want you to walk out of here knowing that you belong to the sovereign of the universe, to the one who spoke and all came into existence. And it has a divine plan and purpose for your life. As we take our baggage and we lay it down, if you built walls to protect, those walls can hinder as well. If you've let the devil define you, he can redefine you according to his plan and purposes. Don't be subject to that. Father, we love you today, and I thank you. I thank you that you, Lord, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in the core of my being. I believe that I'm not an accident. I believe this morning, Father, that I'm not here as a random act, but rather I'm a divinely created person, stamped as a designer original, limited edition of one. And for that, I have purpose, I have value, I have meaning. And I pray, Father, that as we walk out of here, each of us understand that significance today, that our lives matter, we count. We're here because you thought about us. You willed us. You loved us. Lord, may we hear those words. May they reverberate in our spirit, Lord, as the enemy would come and tell us that we are insignificant, that we don't matter. Lord, we do, because we're not here by accident. We're here by divine appointment, by deliberative act of a sovereign God. So, Father, I pray that we walk out with that knowledge, and that would be a liberating understanding, that our lives have meaning and purpose. And so, Lord, rather than spending our time meandering through life with no aim or direction, because we recognize that we belong to you, Lord, may we solidify our commitments to you, Lord. May we anchor in the fact that you know us and have called us, determined our steps. Lord, I know, Lord, we know whose we are, where we came from, why we're here, and we know where we're going. Now, Lord, may we start living with that knowledge, and may it shape our everyday existence. Go with us, I pray, today. Give us a wonderful celebration as we celebrate our independence, Lord. May we also celebrate our spiritual freedom that we have through Christ. I love and I bless each one now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us online. I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you. I love you very much.
For I believe. stand still whenever I'm with you. No more important place to go. There's no rush, not in a hurry. It's okay to take it slow. Minutes turning into hours. Doesn't really